Learn the Mishnah on Daf Samach Amud Beis Ha'oved Avodas Kochavim. Now the Mishnah opens up with this general concept of Avoda. It doesn't say specifically what type of Avoda, and then the Mishnah is going to go on to delineate specific forms and modes of Avoda. And the question is, what did the Mishnah mean in this generic term that an Oved Avodas Kochavim is Chayv Skila? We'll see later on that Abai is going to derive from this generic Oved Avodah Zorah a reference to Oved Mi'ava U'Mi'ira. The Mishnah goes on to say, Echad Ha'Oved V'Echad HaMezabeach V'Echad HaMakater V'Echad HaMenaseach V'Echad HaMishtachaveh. The Mishnah now delineates a whole series of forms of worship. Each one is Chayev Skila. One is Mizabeach, which means he offers a sacrifice by first slaughtering it, and then Echad HaMakater, and then by burning it on the altar, again either of the two. And a third way of serving Avodah Zorah within the context of a sacrifice is Menaseach, when he pours wine, or we'll see about dam, any sort of liquid that's part of the service, V'echad HaMishtachaveh, and one who bows down. Now we'll see that bowing down comes under a category unto its own. It is a service of kavod, of honor and respect for the idol, and it might have a special status. We have to see what's the application of mishtachaveh with regard to shelo kedarka, in a case where that's not the normal way of worshiping a particular idol. The first list, the first enumerated list of Mizabeach and Makater and Menaseach, those are by definition, in an absolute way, they are forms of Avodah Zorah in all cases of idols, no matter what the idol is, and no matter what the specific mode of worship regarding that idol is. But in the case of Hishtachavah, we're not sure. Let's say, for example, there are certain idols that we'll get to a little bit later called Pa'ar and Markulis, where the way of servicing them is through an act of Bizayon, something that would be humiliating to the idol, but that's the way they worship the idol. What about an act of Kavod like Hishtachavah? Where would that fit in? The Mishnah goes on and now enumerates a list of forms of worship which will engender a violation of a lav, but not necessarily a chiyuv skila. And that's going to be aval hamagadef. But before we get to that, the Mishnah says, Va'omer lo eli ata. If he declares to the idol, you are my God, which means he accepts the idol as his deity, either because he's facing it, he's standing in front of it, or perhaps even from a distance, that itself, accepting the idol as one's deity, even though there was no other act of worship, would generate a chiyuv skila. And this the Gemara is going to derive from the parasha of Egel Azov, where it says, Vayishtachvu lo yizbukhev vayomru eile Elohecha Yisrael. And they declare this idol as their deity. Now, in the cases of Megapef, which means he embraces the idol, or Menashek, he kisses the idol, Mechabit, he sweeps in front of it, and Mechabit, Merabit, he sprinkles water as a way of cleaning away the dust in front of an idol, Ve'hamarachet, he cleans the idol, Ha'sach, he anoints the idol, Ha'malbish, he puts clothes on the idol, Ha'malil, Man'il, he puts shoes on the idol. In all these cases, over belosase, he violates a law, but he does not incur a chiyuv skila, because that's not the normal way that the kedarka of that particular avodah zarah. So the Mishnah really is divided up into two categories. There are of modes of worship which by definition and for every idol universally are acts of avodah zarah that generate a chiyuv skila. For example, we had shechita, that's mizabeach. We had bekater, where he burns the carbon in front of the idol. We have menaseh, and we had a question about the status of ishtachava. But now we have all these other cases of acts of shall we say kavod, of glorifying the idol, but not necessarily worshipping the idol in the way it's normally worshipped. That's just a violation of a law without generating a chiyuv skila. The Mishnah then says, "Hanode b'shma v'makayim b'shma over belosase." If a person takes a neder in the name of an idol, which is a prohibition, but not a chiyuv misa, or alternatively, he's makayim b'shma, he takes a shvua in the name of a deity, a false god. In such cases, vowing, swearing, pledging, and so forth, he mentions the name of God, but he hasn't accepted that God as a deity, and therefore his violation is that of a lav, but does not incur a chiyuv skila. Finally, apoer atzmo lebal pior, Zui avodosa zorek even the makulis zui avodosa. In these two cases, it is the humiliating acts that are the kedarka. That's the normal way those idols are worshipped. And in the case of Balpar, it means he goes to the bathroom in front of the idol. That's called to defecate, and that's an act of disgrace. But nevertheless, that's the way it is worshipped, and therefore it's punishable by death. It'll be interesting to study the psychology here of Pa'ar and how that avoda, in a sense, is a worship. And in the case of Markulis, that's the way they used to worship the idol, by throwing stones at it. They put two stones on the ground, a third atop both of them, and that would represent Markulis. And then they would serve the idol by throwing stones at it. And there's a chiddush here, the Yad Ramah, that even if, in the case of Baal Pa'or, he didn't actually defecate, but he uncovered himself, positioned himself as if he was about to defecate, that's enough to incur a chiyuv skila. And the Mishnah concludes, Zui Avadasa, because that's the normal way that these idols are worshipped. The Gemara now wants to understand what was that generic term at the beginning of the Mishnah. It says Echad HaOved, my Echad HaOved, what is this referring to? It doesn't specify any particular form of worship. Amar Rav Yirmiya Hachikam, this is what the Mishnah had in mind. Echad HaOved Kedarka, if he worships the idol in the way, the normal way that it's usually worshipped, and then he's Chayav Misa for that, he's chayv skila for that. For example, let's say in the case of a particular idol, the way they worship is by kissing it or dressing it or embracing it, sometimes even a disgraceful act like we saw in the cases of Pa'ar and Markulis. If it's the normal way that idol is worshipped, that's a violation of a chayv skila. And this is derived from the parasha in Dvarim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed. It says, "Upen Tidrosh LeElohayim, Lemar Echa Yeicha Yavdu Agoyim Elis Elohayim." What is the way, the normal way that the nations of the world serve these gods? Ve'esagat Kain Gamani, and I will imitate them. And the Torah specifies that in such a case, Yichayv Misa, as it says, "Uskaltem Ba'avonim Vamesu." So a normal way that's called Kedarka, that idol is generally commonly served, that itself incurs a chiyuv misa. And that's what it means when it says in the Mishnah, Echara Oved. Then the Mishnah continues, however, with regard to Mizabeach and Makater, with regard to Menaseich and Mishtachaveh, is Afilu Shalokidarka, Yochayev, even in a case where this is not the normal mode of worship for that particular idol, these are absolute and inherently acts of Avodah Zarah for all idols. And it would seem from the Gemara that Mishtachaveh is also elevated to that status where you're always chayev, whether it's kedarko or shalok kedarko. The Gemara asks for lechshov nami zorek. Why does the Mishnah leave out sprinkling the blood, which is part of the offerings, that they sprinkle the blood on the altar? And the blood of a sacrifice to an idol is a death penalty. The Mishnah should have added zorek here. Now, in addition to that, there in back we're going to see that these forms of avodah, which are delineated in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is now adding zrikas adam, are acts which are done in the Mishkan or in the Beis Hamikdash. And insofar as they are acts of service in the Mikdash, with the exception of Heshtachavah, which we'll pick up, ipso facto they become acts of Avodah Zarah when done for an idol, even if it's not the derech of that idol. And if we're listing those acts, those avodos which are done in the Beis Hamikdash, then what about Kabbalah Saddam? What about Halacha Saddam? And there's a machlokas in Masechta Zvachim in the Mishnah as to whether Kabbalah Saddam, whether Halacha Saddam is in itself an avodah, or it's just a technicality to bring the dam closer to the Mizbeach. And the funny thing is, when the Gemara objects, why does the Mishnah leave out Zrika? It doesn't mention anything about Kabbalah Saddam and Zrika and Halacha Saddam. And perhaps we could say that if these acts, although they were done in the Mishkan, are not mentioned in Torah Shebichtav, maybe they would not be elevated to the status of culpability with regard to Avodah Zarah if it's not Kedarka. But on the other hand, Shechita and Haktara and Nisuch, these are all indicated in the Torah itself. They're recorded in Torah Shebichtav. That makes them into forms of worship. But perhaps Kabbalah Saddam and Halacha Saddam, insofar as they're left for Torah Shebichtav, they're not in Torah Shebichtav, they're not elevated to the status of an automatic, inherent and absolute form of Avodah that generates a Chiyuv Skila. In any event, getting back to the Gemara, Lechshov Nami Zorek, Omar Abaye, Zorek Hainu Menasech, that the word Menasech, as we'll soon see in Tehillim, is a word that is all-inclusive. It includes not just pouring wine as a libation, but even sprinkling dam. Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Bal Osich Niskehem Midam, which literally translates, I shall not pour their blood libations. So the Mishnah therefore omits mention of Zorek because, based on the language of Tanakh, in this case of Tehillim, Zorek is included under Menasech. Now the Gemara wants to find Minani Mili, where's the source for the fact that in certain particular avodos, which we mentioned before in the Mishnah, Shechita and Haktara and Nisuch, that Yochayev in front of an idol, even if these acts are not the kedarka, the specified, usual, accepted modes of service for those idols. The Torah Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa, and this brisa is based on a posuk in Shmos. The Torah in Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, tells us in posuk Yutes that a person who slaughters to the gods is Zovech Elohim Yechram, and the word Elohim in this pasuk is secular, And this pasuk is going to teach us something special about shechita, about slaughtering the animal. And that's going to become a binyan av for all these avodos that are done in the Mishkan, lifnim meaning in the Mikdash itself. And the Brisa says the following, Ilu Nemar, had the Torah left out the word Elohim, if it just would have said Zoveach Yecharam Hayisi Omer, I would interpret the pasuk as Zoveach Kodshim Bachutz HaKosim Medaber. This is a reference to taking Kodshim that have to be shechted in the Azara, bringing them outside of the Migdash and shechting them there. That's called Shechitas Chutz. And it would seem that there's a death penalty for that violation. How do I know that this pasuk is not referring to Shechitas Chutz? Talmud Lomer L'Elohim. It says, Zoveach L'Elohim Yechram. And the word Elohim is understood to mean other gods. We're talking therefore about someone who shechts an animal as part of idol worship for the sake of a false god. And we learn here that slaughtering is punishable by skila, even if it's not the kedarka, it's not the classical way of doing it. And basically when the Torah is saying Zoveach L'Elohim Yechram, Yechram means he would be destroyed, meaning that he's chayv skila. And it doesn't say that one who serves the gods by slaughtering shall be destroyed. The pasuk seems to indicate that one who slaughters an offering to any god, not the gods, but any god, all gods, is subject to skila. And it matters not whether it's kedarka of that deity, of that god, of that idol, or not kedarka. So that's the special status of shechita. And now the Gemara, the Brisa, wants to extrapolate from Shechita to other cases. I only know that in the case of Shechita, to Avodah Zorah is Chayav Skila, even if it's not the Kedarka. But Mekater, Menasech, Minayin, how do I know that the same Halacha, the same status applies to two other forms of Avodah, the one who burns the Karban in front of the, on the altar, or one who pours a libation of any sort in front of the, on the altar? How do we know that there too he's going to be chayv skila, even if it's shalok kedarka? Talmud lomar, bilti lashem levado. That the end of this pasuk is coming to teach me that rikon ha'avodos kulam l'shem ha'miyuchad. Empty out all the other avodos, meaning reserve these avodos of Haktorah and Nisuch for the Shem HaMiyuchad, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore don't use them and misappropriate them as part of idol worship. And therefore Lefishi Yotza Zvicha, why is Zvicha mentioned specifically, Zoveach Elohim Yechram, singled out as some sort of a binyan av? What is special and unique and paradigmic of this class of avodos called Zvicha Lidon b'avodas pnim, to tell us that any avoda that is used as an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash generates, if it's used for avodah zarah, skila, once again, even if it's not the kedarka, but minayin l'rabos ishtachava. So in a certain sense, one could perhaps suggest, I don't know if this is philosophy or halacha, but maybe it's on the borderline, that the Torah is telling us that these avodos are designated singularly and exclusively for the service in the Beis HaMikdash to Hashem. When you take that avoda and you misappropriate it and use it for avodah zarah, then by definition, forget about the idol, it's irrelevant what's the common sociology of worshipping the idol, what mode it's worshipped, it's just a matter of stealing it from Hashem, that itself engenders a chi of skila. Minayin l'rabos ishtachava, how do we know that even if a person will bow down to an idol, now we're talking about a bowing which is not the usual kedarka service of that, for that god, for that idol, how do we know that there's a chiyuv skila even in the case of ishtachavav shalo kiderech ha'avoda. And the question, Rashi says, is predicated on the following mitzvahs, that there is no ishtachavah as a unique avoda inside the Beis HaMikdash. Again, there are ishtachavahs in the Mikdash, but there is an avodas ishtachavah even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara is going to derive this from a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. There it says, Vayelech. This was an unfortunate situation in Jewish history. Vayelech vayavod alehim acherim vayishtachvu lehem. He went and he served an alien god and bowed down to those gods. And now we have this phrase, vayishtachvu lehem, and he bowed down to them, which refers to bowing down to a god, apparently that's not usually bowed down to, because if it's usually bowed down to, Rashi points out, then it's already included in what the Torah said and served alien gods. The Samach Levotzesa Se'ishahu, the Pasuk then says that we take this person out and we stone him. Why? Because Vaishtachu Lahem, he worshipped the idol by bowing down to it, even though again we're talking about a Chiyuv Skila in a Shalokidarka situation. And again, from Zvicha, we cannot derive Hishtachavah, because Hishtachavah is not designated exclusively for as an Avodas Migdash, Avodas Pnim. The Brisa concludes by saying, Onesh Shamanu Azhar Minayin Talmud Lomar Ki Los Hishtachva Le'el Acher, that we need an Azhara in order to punish a person. And where is the Azhar in the Torah? It says, Ki lo sishtachve le'el acher. For you shall not bow down to an alien god. And that's a posuk in Shmos Lamed Dalid and Parshas Ki Tisa following the Cheta Egel. And this posuk seems to be somewhat superfluous. It's not needed to prohibit bowing down if it's kedarka, because that we can derive from the pasuk of kedarka, how these nations serve their gods, I too will serve the same way, but it must be teaching me shalo kedarka, and therefore los ishtachva le'el acher becomes the azhara for ishtachava to a god, an alien god, even if it's not the normal custom, and it's not the kidarka of that idol. Yochal animar, but well, maybe what's unique about ishtachavah is that it is an honor to bow down to the avodah zarah, and therefore maybe ishtachavah becomes a binyan av for other forms of worship that give kavod, that give honor to the idol. And just like we saw before, Zovech Elohim Yechram, we took Zvicha, which is Shechita, and it became a Binyan Av for many different forms of Avoda that are similar to Zvicha, and that insofar as they are singled out as Avodas Pnim, maybe we could take the case of Ishtachavah, which the Torah singled out, and see in that a Binyan Av for all types of giving honor and glory to the idol worship. Therefore, the Gemara, the Brisa says, Yochani Marbe, Hamagapev, Hamanashek, Mamanil. All these cases where he kisses, or he puts shoes, he embraces the idol, and let them be chayev, even if it's Shalom Kedak, which is against the Mishnah. Tamad Lomar, Zoveach. That the Torah specifies Zvicha, and says that for Zvicha to Avodah Zarah, again we're back to Shmos Chav Beis, you shall be destroyed, meaning there's a chiyuv of Skila. Zvicha b'chlal hoysa v'lamayotza, Zvicha was included in the category of Avodah Zarah, of those forms that are forbidden. L'amayotza s'lahakishay le'v'lomar ma Zvicha miyuchedeshi avodas pnim b'chayov mo'le'a misa. Af kol shehi avodas pnim v'chayov hin olea misa yotza ishtachavah lidom bi'atzma. Why did the Torah specify Zvicha to teach me? That Zvicha represents a prototype. It is Avodas Pnim. It is an Avoda of slaughtering that's generally done inside the Beis HaMikdash, and Yechayev Misa, if you redirect Chas V'Shalom your Zvicha to Avodah Zarah. And that means even if it's not the Kedarka of that Avoda. And we derive from this as L'Lamed Ala Kulo Yod, so that the Klal, the general rule is any Avoda that's Avodas Pnim, which again is going to include something like Nisuch and Haktara, all these, Yechayev Misa, even if you perform it for a god and it's not the usual service of that god, Yotza Hishtachava Lidon Biatzma, but the Torah specifies Hishtachava, as we saw in the, there was a separate pasuk, Hishtachava. Let's just go over the pasuk here. Is Kiblo Tishtachve Le'el Acher, or the pasuk Vayelech Vayavad Elohim Acher Vayishtachu Lahem. Why was that mentioned? Specified to teach us, lead only biatzma, to tell us that this is a single exception to the rule, that if it's not kedarka and it's not one of the avodas pnim, then it is only a lav, a violation of a lotus, but it doesn't generate skila. And the Torah wanted to set up shashtachava as the only exception to the rule. So we have Yotza Zvicha Lidon Al Kal Kulo. Zvicha is going to teach me that any avoda that's designated for the Beis HaMikdash will generate a chiyuv skila when it's used, I should say misused, for idol worship. And that's true even if it's a lo kedarka. Hishtachava is not what we call an avodas pnim, an avodas migdash, but nevertheless it does generate a chiyuv skila in the same way that the other avodos of pnim are also chiyuv skila. Hishtachava is like an adjunct or an auxiliary member of that set, but we're not going to extrapolate and go beyond hishtachava and say that other modes of glorifying the idol would also generate a chiyuv skila. And now the Gemara analyzes the part of the Brayso Omar Ha'isi Omer, I would have said Bizovech Kodshim Bachutz Hakos Medaber, had the word Elohim been omitted, I would have said Zovech Yechram, means that the Shochet who shechs Kodshim Bachutz is Chayiv Misa. And the Gemara right away objects, how can you have such a Havamina? And the Brisa says, Ha'isi Omer, after all, Zoveh Kodshin Bachutz, Koreisu. It's very nice that Shchitas Chutz is a violation that generates a severe punishment of Koreis, but nowhere do we find that Kodshin Bachutz, Shchitas Kodshin Bachutz, would engender a Chiyuv Misa, which is mentioned here in this Pasuk of Zoveh Yechram. In fact, there's a sheet of Rav Shimon that there is no Iser of Kodshim, of Shchitas Kodshim Bachutz Midorais, it's only the Rabbanon. Salket Ait Chamino, I would have thought that Ki Asru Bei, when is it that Shchitas Chutz generates Kareis and only Kareis, but not anything more severe, meaning not Mises Bezin, that's only Ki Asru Bei if he had a warning. Is then Ktoli's put to death Kilo Asrube Koreis. When, under what circumstances did the Torah specify that Shchitas Chutz engenders a Chiyuv Koreis but not a Chiyuv Misa? That's a case where they omitted the Hasra, there was no Hasra. And again, the Havmita was without the word Elohim, that the Pasuk is referring to Shchitas Kodshim Kamash Malan. Therefore, the Torah said Elohim and added that word to teach us and emphasize that the reason why you're going to be put to death here is because you shechted an animal for Avodah Zarah. Not, has nothing to do with Shchitas Chutz. Shchitas Kodshim Bachutz does not generate a Chiyuv Misa under any circumstances. That's not what the Pasuk has in mind, because the Torah added the word Elohim to refer to Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara wants to analyze one part of the Braisa. Omale Rava Bar Rav Hanan Le Abaye. The names here are important. They're going to come up over and over again in the sugya. So Rava Bar Rav Hanan turns to Abaye and he says, "What does the Braisa mean when it says Ema Yotza Hishtachava Le Lamed Ala Klal Kulo?" That the Braisa raises a Havamina, that the Torah went out of its way to mention Ishtachavo. We mentioned both the Azhara and the Onesh that the Torah specifies. And maybe it's telling me a general rule as a binyanav that any respectful, glorifying service in front of an idol is always a violation of the first order of Avodah Zarah that generates a Chiyuv Skila, even if it's Shelo Kedarka. And in this Havamina, we have to justify why did the Torah specify Zoveach, Shchita, because we said that Shchita was mentioned singled out because you need Dafkar Avodas Pnim in order to generate a Chiv Shalom Kedarka in Avodah Zarah. V'chitem Zoveach Lamali Ligufe. And what would I derive from the Pasuk Zoveach L'Elohim Yechram? That is a halacha that applies to Shchita per se. And this is going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish called Machashvin Me'avoda La'avoda. In the parsha of Pigul, we have a principle that if at the time of the Shkita the Kohen had in mind for a different karbon or for a different time allotment, the animal becomes possible, becomes disqualified L'mizbeach as a karbon through the principle of Pigul. And there's a halacha called Machashvim Me'avoda La'avoda. In fact, at the time of the Shechita, he thinks that the Zrikas Adam will be done for the sake of another Karbon, or in this case, for the sake of Avodah Zarah, even though the Shechita itself was not designated for Avodah Zarah. Is we have a principle here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, called Machashvim Me'avoda La'avoda, that just like in Pigul, a Machsheves Pigul in one Avodah for another Avodah passes the Karbon, and now the carbon is useless, so too in the case of someone who shechts the carbon for the sake of Zrikas Adam for Avodah Zarah, that's called Machashvim Me'avoda La'avodah De'itmar Hashochei Behema Lizok Domo La'avodah Skochom. At the time of the Shechita, he had in mind that he would sprinkle the dam in front of the idol, or alternatively, lahaktir chelbo lavodas kolchom, he'll take the fats and burn them as haktara on the mizbeach for the sake of an idol. Is how do we know that in such a case we apply the principle of machashvin me'avoda lavoda? Rabbi Yochanan Omar, and here we turn to daf samach aleph amar aleph asura, that indeed such a machshava generates an iser in the cheftza of the animal. The animal has a din of avodah zarah. The avodah zarah is chal on the animal because of the fact that the shechita was for the sake of zrikas adam for avodah zarah. So therefore, just to summarize, Rabbi Yochanan's shita of machashev avodah lavodah and avodah zarah means that if he slaughtered the animal, and at the time of the shechita he had in mind that he would sprinkle its blood in front of the idol, the animal itself becomes a cheftza d'avodah zarah, becomes also bana. And by the way, it's irrelevant as to whether or not the blood was actually ultimately sprinkled for the avodah zarah. And again, keep in mind, the shechita itself was not done for the sake of avodah zarah, but since it was done for the sake of avodah, we collapse the distinction between the two avodos, and Shechita and Zrika now merge into one entity. And he had in mind at the time the Shechita for Zrika Avodah Zarah, therefore it engenders the Iser of Avodah Zarah into the Guf HaBehema. And what we mean to say is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have a principle called Machashvin Me'avoda La'avoda. Now, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin that Rabbi Yochanan derives this halacha of Machashvin Me'avoda La'avoda from Pigul. And just like in Pigul, if someone shechted in the Mikdash an offering with the kavana, the intention to sprinkle its dam the next day, let's say you're only allowed to bring to be zorik the dam on this day, in such a case, the karba becomes posel, the basar habeim, and the basar of the animal becomes asur. The carbon itself is posel, and the meat of the animal is not kosher. It's asur by noah. And a similar parallel halacha applies in the case where someone shechts an animal for the sake of zrikas adam l'avodah zara. And what it means is that the machshava to sprinkle the dam for avodah zara engenders in the shechit itself a, shall we say, a status or a power that engenders a status of chefetz avodah zara in the animal. Reish Lakish disagrees, and he says ein mechashem avodah l'avodah. And the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, muteres, meaning that if a person shechted the animal with an intention in mind to be zorek the dam for avodah zara, that has no validity, so to speak. That's not effective. The Torah doesn't recognize this, and it does not engender a shame avodah zara with an isur hanoah onto the behema. That's what he calls muteres. So now the Gemara goes back to its question. Ha nicha le Rabbi Yochanan. We can begin to understand the havamina of the Braisa. According to Rabbi Yochanan, and what would we say now? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk teaches. Again, our problem was that if we had a havamina in the Braisa to use the pasuk of Hishtachava as a prototype to teach me all respectful avodos, even shalokedarka, like chibuk and so forth, then why did the Torah go out of its way to mention shchita? And according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have a great answer to that question, because the Torah wanted to tell us that in shchita, if he had the kavana from one avoda to another avoda, that's effective to generate an iser avoda zor on the behema, and the behema now is also by noah. El Reish Lakish, you can't tell me that this pasuk that singles out shchita is telling us that mechashmi avoda l'avoda is boy kra. Don't we need a pasuk now to single out shchita? And it's a rhetorical question. What is the purpose of the Torah singling out shchita? After all, it's not telling me mechashmi avoda l'avoda, because Reish Lakish denies that halacha. In other words, he holds that the law of Pigel cannot serve as a binyanav for the laws of avodah zarah. And now we could perhaps suggest that the reason why shchita was singled out is in order to teach us that shchita generates a chiv misa in the case of a machsheva l'shem avodah zarah. Now, we could say Gemara is trying to justify the havmin and the brisa that the extra pasuk for zvicha is not extra at all, and then once again, therefore, we can use hishtachava as our prototype to teach us that you're chayev for any avodas kibud, even if it's shalok kedarka, and hanicha, we can understand the havamin according to Rabbi Yochanan, because we need the pasuk by zvicha to teach me machashu me'avoda le'avoda. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hanicha had miyaiter lon zovech. How do I justify the fact that shchita is an extra superfluous pasuk lelamed al haklal to teach me any of the avodas pnim, even shalokedak v'lomak minin la hay drosh alom shemachashi me'avoda lezo hanicha le Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, havmin is very good, because Rabbi Yochanan accepted the analogy between pigel and avodah zara. I don't need any pasuk to teach me that mechashvim me'avoda le'avoda, and therefore the pasuk by shchita is superfluous. And the assumption of the braisa that the pasuk zovech le'elohim yechram is going to teach me about the klal, and we're not going to use up that pasuk of Zovech Lim Yechram for Mechashim Avodah Lezora, me Avodah Lavodah, that's true according to Rabbi Yochanan, because he derived Mechashim Me Avodah Lavodah from Pigul. But according to Reish Lakish, he doesn't accept the analogy between Pigel and Avodah Zarah, then we could say that the Pasuk Zoveach is coming to teach us this principle of Machash Me'avodah La'avodah, and then it becomes a necessary Pasuk in and of itself, and it's not free, it's not superfluous to teach me the klal that we want to derive from Shechita. So once again, just to summarize, it comes out that according to Reish Lakish, the havamin of this brisa, that the pasuk of Zvicha is not going to teach me a klal, that havamina works out very well according to Reish Lakish, because if he doesn't derive Mechashem Vodolavo, he may need this pasuk of Zvicha to teach me that halacha of Mechashem Vodolavo. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the pasuk of Zoveach L'Elohim Yechram in Shechita is absolutely superfluous, because I don't have to derive the conclusion of Mechashem Avodah L'Avodah. I derived that already from Pigul. Now, before the Gemara is going to answer this question of which is posed according to Reish Lakish, that in Reish Lakish's frame of reference, we don't have an extra pasuk of Zvicha. We need it for Mechashem Avodah L'Avodah. First, we have a different question. Maskif lo Rav Papa lo Rav Yochanan lo Baikra. Are you telling me that according to Rav Yochanan, the pasuk by Zoveach L'Elohim Yechram is superfluous because I can derive the principle of Mechashem Avodah L'Avodah from Pigul? I don't need a pasuk for that. Ad kan lo ka'os Rav Yochanan ela behema, aval gavra lav lo bar k'tolahu. Even Rav Yochanan needs the pasuk of Zoveach L'Elohim Yechram to teach us that the Zoveach is chayav misa. Because even if Rabbi Yochanan establishes that Mechashem Avodah L'Avodah, that's only as far as the Psul Karbon is concerned. The Behem itself becomes Psuei Hamukdashim in the fact that he had a Machshava for Zrika Saddam for Avodah Zarah. But that doesn't tell me necessarily that the Gavra is going to be guilty of idol worship simply because at the time of the Shechita he had in mind to be Zorik the Dam for Avodah Zarah, v'yasukolich yuvi gavelik tola. So therefore, I need the pasuk to teach me that there is a chiyuv skila in the case of a person who had in mind at the time of Shechita that he would be Zorik l'Avodah Zarah. So basically, what we have now is the havamin of the brisa that maybe the pasuk by Shechita is necessary, either according to Reish Lakish to teach me the fundamental principle of Mechashmin Me'avodah L'Avodah as far as the Psul Karbon is concerned in the Guf HaBehema, or I need the Pasuk of Zvicha to tell me Mechashmin L'Avodah L'Vazorah also engenders a Chiyuv Gavra, Chiyuv Mises HaGavra, Skila for Avodah Zorah. And Maskifla Rav Acha Braid Rav Ika, and now Rav Acha is going to raise the following objection. Ul Reish Lakish mi boy kro, you're telling me that Reish Lakish needs the pasuk of Zoveach L'Elohim Yechram that single out Shechita in order to teach me that Machashim Yavodah L'Avodah to pasul the korban ad kan lo kashori Reish Lakish ela behema v'al gavra bar k'tolu. Reish Lakish himself understood that the gavra himself is certainly a bar k'tolu. And how did Reish Lakish come to that conclusion? We see that there's a severance. There are two independent concepts here that are not Hava HaTalia. There's one concept about the Behem itself. The Behem itself might be Muteres, but the Gavra is Chayav Misa, Chayav Skila, as an Ovid Avodah Zarah. For example, the case of Ishtachavo Lahar, a man bows down to a mountain, and the halacha is the har mutar. You can still benefit and have hanah from the har, because in the case of mechubal karka, there is no iser avodah zarah, and this is a sugya in avodah zarah daf mem heyam and aleph. So we're talking about an idolater who worships something that's mechubal karka, like a har, and yet the oved is chayiv misa. It's interesting how he mentions here sayif. That's only true for Ben Noach, who we're talking about a Jew who's Chayav Skila. But in any event, this act is considered Avodah Zarah even though the object, namely the har, which is mechubal karka, is not osur as a heftel avodah zarah because it's gedulik because mechubal karka. In our case, where he had in mind at the time of the shechita to be zorik the dam to avodah zarah, certainly logic would dictate that he is an idol worshiper, because why is he slaughtering the animal? That's a prerequisite or a hechsher for the zrika that's going to come later, the sprinkling of the dam. And basically, when the shochet had an intention to sprinkle the dam for avodah zarah, he's in effect already served the idol, because again, it makes sense to see shechita and zrika as one. Therefore, I don't need any pasuk to generate a chiyuv skil in the case of the shochet who had in mind the zrika. And don't be impressed by the fact that according to Reish Lakish, the animal per se is mutabana. That doesn't in any way undermine this logic, because we had the case of worshipping a mountain. And therefore, the pasuk is coming to tell you, in the case of shechita, that if a person shechts an animal with the intention to be zorik the dam, then he's chayev skila. That doesn't make any sense. The verse itself is not necessary, and we can come to this very conclusion without the pasuk. So therefore the price is very correct when it says that slaughtering must have been singled out here with this extra pasuk as a binyan av, as a prototype to teach us that it, meaning shechita, insofar as it's an avodas pnim, generates a chiyuv misa and skila for avodah zarah, even though it's shelo kedarka. But in the case of ishtachava, That's not the case. At this point in the sugya, we have an answer to Rav Bar Rav Hanan's question. The Gemara now is going to move on. Omale Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina L'Maidik Omale Rav Bar Rav Hanan L'Abaye the Havamina in the question of Rav that was posed to Abaye, namely Ema Yotza Shtachavo Lamed Ala Klal Kula Yotza. Maybe we should say that Shtachavo was designated as a binyan av to teach me an entire category of respectful idol worship, that in respectful idol worship Yechayev for Avodah Zarah Skila, even if it's not Kidarka. What are we going to do with the pasuk of Echa Yavdu? As we said earlier, the pasuk indicates, and we'll read the pasuk, that we are imitating the idol worshippers who pen tidrosh le'Eloheim lemar echa yavdu hagoyim ha'ele es Eloheim ve'esachen gam ani. Look at the way the nations are serving their gods, and I will imitate them. So it's obviously that the Torah is prohibiting serving an idol in its usual way, and yet according to Rava Bar Bar Chana was in his question, he wanted to derive from Ishtachava that any avoda, even if it's not an avodas pnim in the Beis Hamikdash, generates a chiyuv skila, even if it's shelo kedarka. What is he going to do with the pasuk of Yavdu Echa Yavdu Agoyim, which means we're imitating their normal customary forms or modes of idol worship? Is the Gemara answers for chite? Maybe it's coming limute hapoer atzmo lezovchim. Maybe the pasuk of Echa Yavdu is coming to exclude a person who defecates to idols that are normally worshipped by slaughtering, to tell you that if it's a humiliating form of avodah in a classical case of avodah zarah, where the avodah that's normally worshipped is going to be lekavod, and he now turns it from kavod into bizayon, maybe that's what the Torah means when it comes to exclude echa yavdu. But meishtachava. So if that be the case, we don't know again that Ishtachava is coming to exclude whenever it's Shalok Kedark, if it's not again Avodas Pnim. But rather maybe that, in other words, again, what we could say is the following. If it's an Avodah Zarah, which is normally worshipped by Shechita, then any kind of Maisa Kavod would also engender a Chiv Misa. If, on the other hand, it is... Once again, let's go over this logic once more. What the Gemara is suggesting now is that in a case of an idol that's not normally worshipped by Shechita, if he does a degrading act, then he's potter. However, if the idol worship is normally done in many different ways, then maybe even if he does Shlok Darka and he does it with a respectful kind of act, then he would be chayev. So that's the Gemara's understanding of the Havamina of Rav Bar Chanan reconciled with the Pasuk Eicha Yavdu. So we have two scenarios, one of which is going to be excluded by Eicha Yavdu, and the other is not excluded by Eicha Yavdu, but rather it's included by Ishtachava. If it's an Avodah Zarah that is normally worshipped by degrading, then if you do an act of Kavod, that would engender a Chiyuv Skila. If, on the other hand, it's normally worshipped by an act of Kavod, and then you do a degrading act, then it's excluded under Eicha Yavdu. So Gemara says, no, this cannot be. Why? Mishtachava Nafka. What do we learn from Ishtachava? Ma Ishtachava Derech Kibud, Af Kol Derech Kibud. And therefore, I don't need a pasuk of Eicha Yavdu to exclude Poer Atzmo Lezovchim, a case of a person who defecates to an idol that's normally worshipped by slaughtering. That would certainly be excluded under Ishtachava, because Ishtachava is derech kavod, so you need derech kavod. However, that doesn't tell me about other acts of kavod, whether they could be accepted into the membership club of Avodah Zarah to generate a chiyuv skila. Ella says the Gemara, I have another possibility. Ute ha-poer atzo le-markulis. The pasuk which says Eicha Yavdu is coming to exclude the case of a person who is polarat, so he defecates to Markulis. Now, we would have a havmin in the case of Markulis that Enochinami, this degrading act of Poer Atzmo, would generate a Chiyuv Misa. As Avodah Zarah Salkid, I'd have been a Hoil, Avod also be Zion, who eats, since anyway, the normal way of serving Markulis is by throwing stones at it, and that's already a Derech Bizoyon. It's Af Kol Derech Bizoyon. Any other Derech Bizoyon we could borrow from Baal Pa'ar and say that Por Atzmo is also Chayev Kamash Malon. Therefore, I need the Pasuk of Eicha Yavdu to exclude the case of Poer Atzmo Lemarkulis. But if that be the case, then it could possibly be that if you worship the idol with a derech kavod, like we spoke about nishuk, etc., then you would be chayov. The Gemara now says that Rav Bar Chanan's havamina, that bowing down, might be a prototype for all positive, respectful forms of Avodah Zarah, even if it's Shelo Kedarko, is against Rabbi Elazar Elahadi, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Minayin Lizovech Behem Ole Markulis Shu Chayav. How do we know if a person slaughters an animal for Markulis? He is Chayav, and that means he does a respectful service for an idol that's normally worshipped in a degrading manner. How do we know that in such a case he's Chayav Misa? After all, it's usually a degrading action. Shenemar, v'lo yizbuchu odes zivcheim la'se'irim. See, he has a special pasuk in Vayikra Yud Zayin to teach us if eina inyan lekedarka. The ksiv echa yavdu isneu inyan lishalo kedarka. So Rabbi Elazar derives from this pasuk that a zover behema lemarkulis is chayev even though it's shalo kedarka. And now what we're saying is that shalo kedarka is specific to Markulis, and it's derived from the pasuk of Lo Yizbuchu Otis Ivcheim L'Seirin. So the Gemara right away asks, "Is Shalok Kedarka Mishtachava Nafka? Why would Rabbi Lozor require a pasuk of Lo Yizbuchu Otis Ivcheim L'Seirin to teach me that Yochayev, in the case of a respectful act for Markulis, which is Shalok Kedarka, we know that from Hishtachava?" And again, this is all in the light of Rava Bar Bar Chananan's Havamina, that if a person does a respectful act of worship, then he's chayev ipso facto, even though it's not kedarka. So the Gemara answers, Hasam bizovech lahachis. The reason why I need a special pasuk, the reason why Rabbi Elazar needs a special pasuk, in order to establish that this act of covet from Markulis generates a chiyuv misa even though shalok kedarka, is because we're talking about a case of someone who slaughters the animal out of spite, meaning he's not so much interested in serving that idol, but rather he's interested in doing something spiteful against God. So he slaughters an animal for an idol. And now we want to know whether or not he's chayev misa for avodah zarah if he does it out of lahachis in order to spite God, and he did not really have any interest or intention to be makabel the idol as aloha. He was just spiting God by slaughtering the animal for an idol. Now, what the Gemara is saying here is that from Ishtachavo we could not have derived that this is prohibited, because again, here he's doing an act for the sake or out of spite, and that's why we need a special Yalfusa. The Gemara now turns to a suffix of Rabbah. Rav Hamnuna Irkesu Lei Tori. He was searching for his oxen that got lost, and even so, you would say that he wasn't able to respond to a question. No, he was mechaviv Torah so much that he would focus on the question even while he's running around looking for his oxen. Pogabei Rava, and Rabba met him. Ramalei Masnisen Adodi. He asked the steer of two Mishnayos here in our Perek. I just want to backtrack for a second. Again, the Bryce's final conclusion, Lafuke Rava's Havamina, Rav Bar Chanan's Havamina, is that we don't need a pasuk to teach me in the case of Shechita that he's Chayev Misa, that we would know based on Svara. And why did the Torah then single out Shechita to teach me that only Avoda, the modes of service that are Kedarka, generate a Chiyuv Misa, but those modes of service which are Shalo Kedarka do not generate a Chiyuv Misa? So the Torah singles out slaughtering to teach us that in cases similar to Shechita and other cases, he is liable for death. And again, even though I would know logically that he is Chayiv Misa, but I wouldn't know that only Shechita and those that are similar, those avodas that are similar to Shechita, are Chayiv Misa. The Brisa therefore is correct that Shechita is singled out to serve as a model and to teach us which services are subject to the death penalty, and Hashtachava becomes the exception to the rule. Okay, now we get back to the stira in Mishnayis that Rava posited before Rav Hamnuna, while Rav Hamnuna was on his way to find his oxen. Tanan, in our Mishnah it says Ha'oved Avodas Kol Chavim, and what we derive from that is the Chiv Misa depends on Oved in Omer Lo. The Mishnah seems to put all the emphasis on the act of worshipping, but a declaration that I will worship is not enough to generate a Chiv Skila V'anan Tanan. But yet we have a Mishnah later on, which you'll find on Daf Samach Zayin. There the Mishnah says Omer Evod, if he declares that he will serve, or Elech V'Evod, I will go and serve, or Nelech V'Nav, let us go and serve, in all these cases he's Chayev Skila. Now the context is Mesis, when someone instigated others to idol worship and the other person agreed, then the other person is Chayev Misa based on the fact that he declares, I will serve it, or I will go and serve it, even if he's not in front of the idol, he has to go a distance. Now, in all these cases, he may retract his decision later on, but nevertheless, we assume he will not retract his decision, and therefore the Amira itself constitutes an act of Avodah Zarah. And this is all based on the Parsha of Mesis, in Dvarim Perek Yud Gimel, where it says, "Ki yisischa achicha meni mecha lemar nelcha v'navda lehim acherim." Let's go and serve alien gods. Lo sova lo v'lo sishma elav. And the implication of lo sova lo v'lo sishma elav, which means you shall not agree to his enticement, is coming to tell us that if he agreed, that itself generates a liability and a chiyuv misa as an ovid avodah zarah, even though he didn't do any avodah at all. And that's what the Mishnah says on Daf Samach Zayin. And therefore we have now a stira l'chora between two Mishnayis. Omalei, so Rav Hamnuna responded to Rabba, Biomer, Eini mekabalai ela b'avodah. We're talking about a case in our Mishnah where he accepted the idol, but with a contingency, with a condition, and he says explicitly that he's not accepting the idol until he serves the idol, and that's what it means, ela b'avodah, only at the time that I serve the idol, which means that up until the time that he serves the idol, he will not accept the idol as a deity. So the person basically qualified his statement, I will serve, by adding the words ela b'avodah. And in such a case, the Mishnah says he's not chayev misa. Rav Yosef Omer, he has an alternative answer to reconcile the two Mishnayos. Tanoi shkalt me alma. Let's not take two Mishnayos from here and there and posit a stira between the two, but rather tanoi he. Let's assume that two Mishnayos are reflecting two different Tanoim, two different opinions, and it's an ancient machlokas, the Sanya Ha'omer Bo V'Ivduni. If someone says to his friend, come and worship me, Ivduni. And we're going to see that even if a person declares himself as a guide, as a god, as a deity, like Nimrod back in the time of Avram, that also generates an Avodah Zarah. Is Rabbi Meir says that the very fact that he says Bo v'ivduni, he's chayev. And Rabbi Yehuda poter, Heicha de polchu kuli amalo pli, if the person, as a result of his instigation, succeeded in getting his listeners, his audience, to worship him, then everybody agrees with Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that he's chayev, that whoever worshiped the person is chayev. Tchsiv lo tasel cha pesel, don't make yourself as an idol. But keep pleading, what are they arguing about? B'dibur b'alma. Not a case where the person instigated them and they actually worshipped based on his instigation, but rather dibur b'alma. There was never an avodah. Is Rav Meir Sava dibur milsahi? We can take this dibur seriously. And when the instigator says to someone, come and worship me, and the other person says, okay, I'm ready, I'm on board, then he's chayav misa for that. That's already avodah zara. B'yudus of a dibur alav milsahi. We can't put too much significance into a verbal statement, into a dibur. And so far, the instigator was not successful yet in luring his audience to actually worship him. And therefore, he is only guilty of dibur ra. But on the other hand, Rabbi Meir holds the instigator, the maces, liable, because he considers that speech itself is grounds for liability. Rabbi Yehuda says that speech is not grounds for liability. And this is the machlokes between our Mishnah and the next Mishnah on Samach Vav. Basically what we're saying is that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Yehuda, Dibur Lav Milsahi, and you're not chayv for saying, let us worship, or I will worship, or I will serve the Avodah Zarah, I'll go and serve, let's go and serve. No. Rav Yehuda says, Dibur Lav Milsahi, you're potter in all those cases. But Rav Meir, reflected in the Mishnah later on in Samach Zayin, he holds that Dibur Milsahi, and he's chayv just simply for the statement that that we will worship the idol. My impression is, and please keep me in Beirapon Mugbal, is that we're not talking about the chiyuv on the other people who agreed to worship him. They haven't yet worshipped him. The dibura milsahi here is as far as the maces himself. Do we assume the maces was successful since his audience responded in the affirmative, yes, we will worship you, and the maces should be put to death? That's going to be a machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Hadar Amar Rav Yosef Lav Milsi Di Amri. He retracted his original statement. The Afilu Rabbi Yehuda B'dibura Nami Chiyuv V'Mechayve. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Dibura Milsahi, and the Mesis is going to be Chayev when they agree to worship him, the Mesis. This not Sanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Li'olameinu Chayev Ad Shiyomar E'evod Elech V'Evod Nelech V'Navod. The statement of Rabbi Yehuda is that even if a person makes a verbal commitment towards Avodah Zarah, that itself is enough to incur a chiyuv misa, and he's liable for words themselves. So if one instigates others to worship him, then we have to find some understanding, some other alternative explanation as to why Rabbi Yehuda says that he's not chayev, b'mayka miflagi, and this is really focused on Rabbi Yehuda. When does Rabbi Yehuda say he's not chayev? B'mesis li'atzmo v'yamrile in. We're talking not about a case of instigating someone to worship a well-known, well-trodden, the famous idol, but rather where he's setting himself up as a deity, and he says, you worship me, and the guy says, yes. Is kamifli, that's the subject of machlokas. Mar sover koin to Rabbi Meir, mesis li atzmo shamile. Just like we assume that with regard to a very famous, well-known idol, the statement of those who were subject to the instigation of, yes, we will go worship that. So too, in the case where the mesis sets himself up as a deity, when they reply yes, then in the Karmel Lake Kushtahu, this is really true, and we can be absolutely sure that they will in fact worship this person. Ma'arsav Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds Mesis Li Atzmo Lo Shamile. A person will not, even though he said yes, he will not really worship another person, so there's no Mesis here. Meimar Amri, and here we're turning to Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, Maishna Ihu Minein Didan. Why is this person any different than others? If he's a god, then I'm also a god. It reminds us of the story of a person in a mental institution who goes around telling everyone, I am God. And the other people say, He's crazy. I'm God, right? The in the karma. So why did they respond to this instigator by saying, "Yes, we're ready and willing and eager to worship you, the karma"? Achuche ale. Basically, they're making fun of him. This is like a kind of a shatani bach svaro, that sometimes a person says something and he's really being facetious about it. He's not being serious about it. So the machlokas here, according to Rav Yosef, between the two mishnayos, which is really a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, is about the case of someone who instigates others to worship him, setting himself up as a deity. Rabbi Meir says that when they respond and say yes, that is serious business. That indicates the success of the instigator, the Mesis, and Yischai Misa. But Rabbi Yehuda denies it and says, why should I worship him? Why is he God and not me? Maybe I'm God. Now, Rav Yosef, in that sense, is left with the position that, as a general rule, if a person says, "I will worship," or "let us go worship," or any of those languages, then he's chayav, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, with the exception of the Mesis, who sets himself up as a god. So now let's find another reconciliation of the two Mishnayos. Masnisin, our Mishnah Kan, I think he means in the case of the Mishnah that says that when he says, the Mishnah Daf Samach Zayin, where he says, "I will serve," then he's Chayav Misa. So that's B'yachid HaNises, where there was an instigation of one individual. He has no support group to hope that maybe he'll desist. But Kan, in our Mishnah, B'rabim HaNisatim, there's a whole bunch of people who are being instigated, and when there's a group, then there's a much more, how shall I say, statistical probability that at the end of the day they won't actually go through with it and worship that idol. Yachid lo mimlech. In the case of a yachid, when he makes the statement that "I will worship the idol," we take him seriously, and we assume that it's not likely that he's going to think about it, mimlach, and reconsider his commitment. V'toy basrei, he will at the end of the day be seduced by the instigator, by the Mesis, and he will worship Avodah Zarah. But Rabin Mimleche, but in the case where there's a group, again, I don't know how large the group is, Lo Toy Basrei, that ultimately they will convince each other that there's no truth to this instigation on the part of the Mesis, and they won't worship the idol. And Rav Yosef is going to derive his conclusion from a pasuk. Now, it's very interesting to me that here I think it's a suffix for Torah's Vaday. We really don't know for sure, even in the case of a yachid, that he will at the end worship the idol. But again, we assume he will. And although I don't know if that's enough of a justification to put that person to death, but it definitely indicates that the Mesis is Chayav Misa, that he is successful. That has to be thought out carefully. It could very well be that the sugya holds that since Dibura Milsahi, right, that was saying now that a verbal commitment to worship an idol is Dibur Ba'alma Milsahi, then it could be that the person himself who made a statement that he will obey the instigator, he himself is Chayv Misa. In this note here, number 29, he quotes the Chidush HaRan. The Chidush HaRan seems to make this equation that if the Mesis is Chayv simply because of the declaration of his audience, or whether it's one member of his audience or many members of his audience, that "I will serve," that would imply that an idolater is liable for stoning even by virtue of mere speech. In other words, at least according to Rabbi Meir at that point, the Gemara suggests that since the Mesis is Chayev, so too the idolater is Chayev. But as I indicated before, that Chidush Aran has to be studied, the Iyun. Now, Omer of Yosef, Minani Mili, how do I know this? In other words, how do I justify my distinction between the Yachid and the Rabim? And the answer is, the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Velo Sovel Lo, Velo Sishma Elov, Ha'ova Vishoma Chayov. Everything here is in the singular. You shall not hearken to him, implying that if you make that declaration that you agree and you accede to his seductive invitation to worship, then that's chayav because of the yachid. In the case of the yachid, we assume that if he says, "I will serve," then he's chayav for that dibur bi'alma. And it's logical to make a distinction here between the individual and the rabbim, because in the case of the members of the group, we don't really think that they've necessarily agreed and then go through with it. And now, Esve Abai raises the following kasha: Mi shani bein nises the rabbim l'nises b'yochad, have a brisa to prove that there's no distinction between the individual and the group. The brisa starts with the pasuk Yisischa Achicha ben Imecha Naparsha in Dvarim Yud Gimel of Mesis, and it says that Echad, the brisa says Echad Yochad Anises V'Echad Rabim Anisasim, whether it's an individual or a group that's being instigated. In both cases, Hotzi Akosiv Yochid Michal Rabim V'Rab Michal Yochid. The only reason why the pasuk indicated the individual excluding the rabbim or the rabbim excluding the individual is simply because there are differences. And what are those differences? The Braisa delineates them and says that Hotzi Akosiv Yochid Michal Rabim Rab Michal Yochid Michal Rabim, the Yochid was excluded in a separate Gila Hachmir Al Gufo Ula Hakil Al Mamono, that we are going to put him to death, and not only that, but his possessions, his property. Just one second. What does it say? Lahachmir al gufo ulahok. I'm sorry. In the case of a yachid, he'll be put to death, but his property is not to be destroyed. It's left intact. But rabim, Michlal Yochid were excluded as a separate category from the, and contrasting with the Yochid, Lahakil al Gufam, Ulahakar al Mamono, that we don't have any compassion on their property, and all their property will be destroyed, but Lahakil al Gufam, which means that we reduce the penalty for the Rabim in the case of Ira Nidachas from that of Skila down to Saif. But again, as far as the livestock is concerned, and other properties have to be burnt, they have to be killed, inanimate objects are burnt, all this is the Chumrah of the Rabim. Says Abaye, we see clearly that the Braisa delineates these two exceptions to the rule. Bahamilsu Deshani, these two items or variables are what set apart the yachid from the rabbim of b'chol mili. As far as other laws are concerned, ki adadi ninu, the price is implying an equation, an analogy, and therefore we derive from this, says Abai, that there's no difference with regard to dibur when they declare verbally their intention to worship. There's no difference between the yachid and the rabbim, so that's not going to give us, as Rav Yosef would have had it, a valid reconciliation between the Braisa, between the first Mishnah, our Mishnah, and the later Mishnah on Daf Samach Zayin. El Amar Abaye, Abaye has his own reconciliation, an alternative explanation between that the first Mishnah, our Mishnah, and the later Mishnah Kan in our Mishnah Ben Niseis Mipi Atzmo. A person was self instigated, meaning he decided on his own to serve the idol. Khan, the Mishnah later on, is benisais mipi acherim, he was influenced by others, instigated by others, and now Abai explains that difference. Mipi atzmo mimlach, if he was instigated by himself, he's going to think about it over and over again, he'll decide, he may reconsider his decision, his declared intention to worship the idol, therefore he's not chayev based on a mere declaration. But mipi acherim, if others are instigating him, then garir basrayu, he will be seduced by others, and they'll draw him in, and ultimately, yesh laniach, we can certainly assume that he will worship the idol. Amar Abai minan minile, what's my basis? From whence do I derive this conclusion, this distinction between piatzma and piacherim? Tichsiv, the pasuk says, again, we're back to the same pasuk in the parash of Mesis, lo sova lo velo sishma elov. You should not listen to him, but ha'ova v'shama chayev. But if he listens to him, to another person who instigate him, he is liable. And it means that just because he acceded and hearkened to himself, he's not liable. The Torah says because he listened to his brother who's instigating him, meaning someone else. Rav Amar, Rav has a different reconciliation of the Mishnayos. Idi v'idi menisais mipi acherim. We're talking about a case where someone else is instigating him. Ha, but our Mishnah. No, actually, ha means that Mishnah, which says that he's chayev when he makes a declaration, "I will serve." Di Amar Le, because the person who instigates him, he starts praising and beautifying the greatness of this idol. Kach Ocheles, Kach Shosa, the idol is unbelievable. It eats and it drinks. Kach Metiva, and so too it can bring good to us. It has the power of a deity. Kach Maria, and it can bring harm to us. Therefore, it's very worthwhile serving this idol. But our mission is talking about a case of Lo Amar Le. He didn't start praising and lauding the idol and say kach ocheles kach shosa. Therefore, we don't assume that the person, when he declares his willingness to worship, will actually worship the idol. Amar Rav Minah Mili, what's my basis for this? Tichsiv, the pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Yud Gimel, in the parasha again of Mesis, where it says, "Ki yisischa achicha lemar nelcha v'navda lahim acherim asher lo yadata." And then afterwards it says in the pasuk, "Asher svivoseim akrovim elecha o arechokim imcha." So the pasuk goes out of its way to talk about a God that's near you, a God that's distant from you. Mali krovim, mali rechokim. What did the Torah mean by elucidating this difference between krovim and rechokim? And the answer is hacha kamalach. This is what the pasuk means to tell me, tivusim shall krovim, if there are nearby idols. Atolomed mat, you should understand that what's the nature of these nearby idols is tivusim shall rechokim, and that's going to teach you something. Atolomed ma tivusim shall rechokim. What's the nature of these distant idols? In other words, when the Mesis comes forward and he sings the praises of a distant idol, then if you want to get a picture of what those distant idols are worth, then take a look and study the nearby idols. You'll see clearly that they are totally impotent. They have no power. And by analogy, you should derive the conclusion that the Rechokim also are impotent. My love, isn't it clear that this pasuk is telling you the following? The Omer Le, the instigator, the Mesis, says to the other people, Kach Ocheles, Kach Shosa, Kach Mativa Kamaria. And therefore, Shmamino, we can learn from this pasuk that we're dealing with this case where the Mesis starts lauding the idol, and therefore you should derive that the idols are no better than the local idols, the far distant idols are no better than the local idols. Ravashi, Omer, Ravashi has a different way of reconciling the contradiction between the two Mishnahs. Sefer, the later Mishnah, he calls it the Sefer because all the Mishnahs in this parak are one long Mishnah, is B'Yisrael Mumar. We're talking about a Yisrael, and he's proven himself in the past. Again, we never were able to put him to death because he didn't have a Hasra, but he is an apostate, and we can be sure that he will worship the Avodah Zarah. So his declaration is to be taken very seriously. And Ravina Amar Lozu Afsu Ketani, he denies the whole story. There's no contradiction between the two Mishnahs. The first Mishnah speaks about Avoda, and the second Mishnah clarifies and embellishes and says not only that, but even if he simply says a verbal declaration, I will serve the idol, that itself is enough to hold him liable with a Chiv Misa and a Chiv Skila, even though he hasn't yet actually worshipped the idol. So we take the two Mishnayos as one, and that's called Lozu Afsu, not only in this case where you actually worship the idol, but even in this case where he made a declaration that he intends to worship the idol, he's liable for Skila even through and as a result of that declaration. Here's where we'll stop with Itmar, towards the bottom here of Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis.